Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity, for this privilege to come corporately together, Lord God, into your house. This is your house, which means your rules apply. It'd be foolish for us to come into your house and tell you how to run your house. So we submit to your spirit today, God. We trust you, Lord God, to meet us at our point of need. Like any gracious host, God, we ask you, Lord, fill us, feed us till we want no more. We thank you, Lord God, for yokes being destroyed and burdens being removed. We thank you, Lord God, for somebody leaving here today better than they were before they came. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. All sons and daughters who believe that his will and way is right, shout it, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got several scriptures we're going to look at and get through. Point of foundation and clarity. To be honest with you, this message is really, really short, but I need to set this foundation. Matthew 18, 19 through 20, if you're taking notes, I apologize for not getting my PowerPoint up. God was pumping it out as faster than I could put it down. Amen. But Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 through 21, if you have your Bibles, have your roadmaps, follow with me. It says, I'm reading from the King James, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." James chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 17. If you're taking notes, please, that would probably be the best way to do that. James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, the King James Version says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. The Message version of that same text, James 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, "Make this your common practice," which means this should be something that should be on the regular. This should be something that should be customary. "Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed." That's powerful. We're living together, but we're not whole and we're not healed. The prayer of a person living right with God. I wish y'all could see that up there. This is the Message version. "The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with." Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it would rain, that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Oh, my God. So Elijah, I hate to exegete this like this. But Elisha, he says, a man of, King James says, a man of like passions. He was just like you. Wasn't nothing special about Elisha. Wasn't nothing special about Elisha. He said, a man of like passions, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Just like you. He prayed to God in faith, and what he requested of God, God answered. A man just like you probably woke up, his breath was smelling bad just like yours. If he ran too long without putting Mitchum on, he probably was stinking under his armpits too. Y'all remember Mitchum? Mitchum. Some of y'all don't know what Mitchum is. Amen. I really mess y'all up if I said Tussie. I really mess y'all up. Anybody born past 75, ask somebody else. Amen. But he's just like you. A human, a man, just like you. He prayed, and God answered his prayer. Acts 2, verse 1 through 2, King James says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Now, if you study your word, underline it. It didn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. We don't know what the sound was. It's important. It's important. It says, "as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 13. I told you we had a couple of scriptures we're going to deal with. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 13, the Message version. "And when you come before God," Jesus is talking, "don't turn that into a theatrical production. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Hear what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do," Jesus is saying. He says, "find a quiet, secluded place, so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace." Verse 7, "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need." The word of the Lord, it is blessed. We want to consider for a thought this morning. Watch out for hum eliminators. Watch out for hum eliminators. I'm going to get to the point. I'm going to get to you. You're going to see it. You're going to understand it better by and by. Watch out for hum eliminators. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, watch out for hum eliminators." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, this for those who are engaged in this time of consecration through prayer and fasting, God bless you. God bless you. We are over halfway there. God bless you. Pray that God has been speaking to you. I pray that God has been ministering to you. I pray that God has revealed himself to you, like Hebrews says, in a new and a living way. The purpose of the time of prayer and fasting is that we draw closer to God. But can I be honest with you? For me, my experience this year as what I so-called veteran of prayer and fasting, this one was the is one of the most difficult times of prayer and fasting for my life. I mean, I'm getting mad at crazy stuff, getting upset at crazy stuff. I found this ticket for Sonic and got mad. I ain't lying. I saw Sonic and I thought about the stuff I like at Sonic. I got mad. This has been one. Not necessarily because of the struggle. That struggle is real, but it, not necessarily for that. This has been tough because of what God has revealed about me. Can I be honest with y'all? God's revealed some stuff about me, and I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like what I saw. Fasting and prayer, the person that it changes the most is you. The person that it affects, if you're doing it right, let's say that, if you're doing it right, it the person who is most affected is you. We said it earlier, your times of prayer and fasting does not manipulate God. What it does, it exposes you. And I've seen some things about me I did not like. You mean pastor, preacher? Yes, pastor, preacher. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can believe me or not. It's not necessarily sin, but it's the omission of things. And it's been hard. because I like to think the best about me. Amen. And I know I'm not the only one in this room. I like to think that I'm better in some areas, but this fast has told me. I know that sound good and it make a good story, but that's not reality. There have been some disciplines that I have let slip. There have been some things that to the untrained eye, it wouldn't matter. To the untrained eye, it wouldn't matter. It was, oh, Pastor, that's okay. But no, because I know what God is calling me to. And I know how he desires to use me. Some of the stuff that I have settled for does not line up or put me in that place or posture. And God had to call me to the mat. You're spending too much time doing stuff that don't even matter to the kingdom. You're busy about the work of the Lord, but you haven't really paid much attention to the Lord or the work. You're doing churchy things. But that's all it is. And you can be content and have. I'm not just talking about me. I'm just talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. Don't get condemned. I'm just talking about me. Y'all getting distant. And you can be content is what Holy Spirit would say. You can be content with that, but don't expect power. Don't expect authority. As the book says, we should have. What this time of prayer and fasting is doing, it says that you cannot, Einstein says, you cannot solve level 2 problems with level 2 solutions. You got to go to level 3 to solve the level 2 solution. You got to come above it in order to look down on it, to see it from a different perspective and approach it differently. Some of us are trying to deal with the problems we have on the same level. Time of prayer and prayer, it hadn't been pretty. I ain't gonna lie to you. But I thank God that he would love me enough and still have use for me enough to warn me, to show me. See, most people, when God reveals something to you that you don't like, especially when it's about yourself, we allow the devil to condemn us. But I'm challenging you, flip that thing. Thank God that he revealed it to you so that you can now make adjustments. God does not bring punishment without first warning. He does not first bring judgment without first a time of correction. Amen. My mama would tell me, if you don't stop, I'm going to get you. And depending on how busy she was doing her other things, she'd give me another warning. I said, if you don't stop, I'm going to get you. Second warning. By the third time, if I was still doing it, it got silent. And mama turned into a ninja. And I knew the room got cold. The hair on the back of my neck starts, because she was in whoop mode. But before that happened, before we ever got there, she gave me warning. Times of prayer and fasting, God, when God calls you and challenges you about certain things that don't line up with his purpose and plan for your life, there's your warning. And God, and God does it because he loves us. He loves us. Amen. So bear with me just for a few more moments. Of all the senses listed throughout the Word of God, sight, touch, smell, taste, hearing is the most mentioned and the most prominent. Over 2,500 hearing, listening, and ear references are found in the Word of God. Phrases like, he that hath an ear, 1,200 times. Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God 559 times. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That doesn't sound like hearing, but no, he's saying, hear me now. He's trying to get your attention. 1,090 times. The ear is the most prominent sense that is used and beckoned in the Bible. Not only is the ear central to receiving messages and establishing understanding, the ear is also critical for balance and equilibrium. Hallelujah. And spiritually speaking, this makes perfect sense, because if I'm not hearing or receiving what God is saying to my spirit, my walk is all jacked up. In the natural, our equilibrium is in our ear. If you have an ear infection or there's something wrong with your hearing, it affects your walk. It affects your balance. And the same way in the spirit, if you're not hearing correctly from God, it will affect your walk. It will affect how you balance life and situations and circumstances if you're not hearing right. Hallelujah. If I'm not hearing right, I'll stumble and fall over stuff I'm supposed to be leaping over. If I'm not hearing right, I'll fall over stuff that I'm not supposed to be falling over. If I'm not hearing right, I'll make long steps where I don't need to make long steps. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, quit tripping. When I'm not hearing right spiritually, I am subject to trip. You're dealing with people, maybe in your house, maybe on your job, that's just tripping all day long because their spiritual equilibrium is not right. They can't walk right because they can't hear right. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's not about correcting your walk. It's about getting your ears clean. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit helps us to train our spirit to hear and discern what to do and where to go. John 16, verse 12 through 14 says like this, I have yet many things to say to you, Jesus is talking, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Oh, God. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, how's the Spirit of truth gonna guide us? The scripture says by speaking. How are we gonna interpret that speaking if we can't hear right? He's guiding us by the words that he speaks. And it's important for us to have the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Good spiritual hearing doesn't exempt us from trouble. Just because you hear right don't mean you exempt from trouble. But it keeps us connected to God. You can hear, and the only reason you moved in that direction is because you heard God say do it. It doesn't mean you're exempt from trouble. But it keeps you connected to God. And the only one who's able to get you out of trouble is God. Hallelujah. This brings me to how God dropped this message into my spirit. I said all that to say this. Now I'm preaching. Start the clock. Now I'm just playing. Wednesday night, during this time of prayer and fasting, we suspended Bible study. By the way, shameless plug, if you hadn't been to Bible study, get the Bible study. We're going through the book. Book by book, we're going through the book. Get the Bible study. Okay, back to our regular scheduled program. Wednesday night, we've been suspending Bible study for prayer. We've been coming and we've been praying. We have certain agendas, and we leave opportunities for anybody who wants to pray to come and pray. And we come and we pray. And when we pray toward the end, we make sure we connect with one another. We divide up into groups of two or three, and we pray. We share one concern, and we pray, and then we leave. as the group came together on Wednesday and they began to share that one thing with one another and the other person began to pray for the answer as if they needed the answer, it created a sound. To hear 45 to 50 people praying at the same time. I don't know if you've ever been in a room like that, but when everybody is praying, it creates a sound, a resonance. And everybody was praying, and they were calling on the name of God on behalf of their brother, their sister, and it created a sound. And that sound, the best way I can explain it, it sounded like a hum. It was a hum of prayer, and it reminded me of the audio noise, the audio sound engineers when they try to get rid of. I mean, it was just a hum. You ever been in a place where something you could hear the hiss from coming from speakers? Audio engineers try to get rid of that hiss because that hiss can be distracting to what they really want you to hear. Sometimes it can be a bad wire or a component, but usually that hiss that you hear is the AC power bleeding through. Get technical for a minute. Hopefully I don't lose you. That hiss that we hear from sound systems is not necessarily something wrong. It is simply the AC power bleeding through. AC power, that's the wall power. Something is connected to the wall socket where energy and electricity comes through, and that energy, the frequency of that electricity is creating the hiss or the sound you hear. AC power is the wall power that's making the component or the instrument work. So the hum is a sign or the proof that power is flowing to the component or the instrument. Some of y'all know where I'm going right there. When you hear that hum, that hiss, that sound, it is proof that there's power connected somewhere. And while it might seem distracting to you, it's proof that this thing is on. Conversely, the hum that I heard while everybody was praying on Wednesday night was a sign, and it was proof that power was flowing in prayer. That hum that I heard while everybody was praying, nobody was looking around trying to see what anybody else was doing, but they were earnestly lifting up the concerns of their brother to God, and it created this resonance. And that resonance was the sound of power. Goodness. Prayer will work if we work it. Ah, God. That sound, that hiss, that hum of souls coming together, agreeing as touching in one place on one accord, that was the sound, not of voices being heard, that was the sound of power flowing through every prayer circle, flowing through every connected hand. There was energy flowing as brothers and sisters were talking to God on behalf of their brothers and sisters. Prayer will work if we work it. It'll work if we work it. But most of us don't pray because we're not really sure there's any power in it. Let's be honest. Most of us don't pray because we're not really sure. It's become more of a perfunctory activity. We just do it because we know we're supposed to. Like praying over your food. Jesus wept. You need to be praying over that food, especially if you didn't cook it. But it's become just secondary, it becomes a secondary notion because some of us really don't believe that there's power in it. But there's power in prayer. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there I will be in the midst, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be. There's power in prayer. And as we're nearing this last moment of prayer and fasting, if you've been so focused on what you can't eat and less on your time in prayer with God, you missed the point. If you've been so focused on what I can't do and what I can't eat and get mad at commercials. I know you've been mad at commercials. I've been mad at commercials. But you've been mad at commercials. It's like Red Lobster didn't put that. Look at the production value. Look at the butter. Jesus. I've never seen cheese melt like that before. Like, did Martin Scorsese, did he direct this commercial? But if you've been so concerned with what you can't do and less concerned with what you're able to do in prayer, you missed it. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. Prayer, there's power in prayer. And what I heard Wednesday was the proof that there's power because that hum represented the power that was in the prayer. See, this is where the hum eliminator comes in. When there are people who really don't believe that there's power in prayer, somewhere a hum eliminator has gotten into their life. So what is a hum eliminator? A hum eliminator is I'm breaking it down real simple. It's an overgrown power strip with heavy gauge wiring to shield the power better. It's an overgrown power strip. You look at a power strip, the cord is thicker than most cords because it's there to shield the power and keeping it from bleeding as much as a regular cord would. It doesn't reduce the power. It dampens certain resonance frequencies that the outlet power gives off. That power, that electricity, gives off a frequency. If you ever walked under power lines and been quiet enough, you can hear it even walking under power lines. It gives off a frequency. And what a hum eliminator does, it dampens the frequency. When those frequencies are dampened, our ears no longer hear them and are tricked to think they no longer are there. Hum is still there, but when you plug the hum eliminator to it, it dampens the frequency. Frequency didn't go anywhere. The hum eliminator just turned it down, and it tricked your ear to think it's not there. Spiritual hum eliminators are those things the devil uses to keep us from hearing or recognizing the power of Holy Spirit when we're connected to it. What are some spiritual hum eliminators? Sin, doubt, anger, fear, worry, frustration, unforgiveness. These are things that dampen the power that you as a believer are already connected to. If we give way to these hum eliminators, they will convince us that there's no power, we're not connected to any power for breakthrough. And if we're not convinced that there's power to get through it, we'll just stay in it. You ever seen somebody who's been in something that they could just step, that if you just stepped out of it, if you just took a step, but if they're not convinced, if they don't believe that there's power to make that step, they won't make it. And the spiritual hum eliminators are there to dampen the frequency, to trick your ear to think, God's not here, because I don't hear him. He's not here. And so we start thinking, God's left me.
We start thinking that God's forsaken me because the hum eliminator has tricked my ear and made me to believe that the God you say you serve, he left you high and dry. That's the purpose. They don't reduce the power, but they try to run interference between us and the power. It's a hum eliminator. The hum eliminator is focused. Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. Any self-respecting producer, someone who has a studio, has to have some hum eliminators. Am I right about that? You gotta have some. If you are serious about your product and your craft, you're gonna have some hum eliminators in your studio. Because you understand that there are frequencies that I have to dampen, I have to bring down in order to amplify what I'm trying to produce. So the sound engineers, the producers are concerned with a product. So they will turn down all the noise that could interfere with the finished product. Ha! Thank you, Holy Ghost. The devil's trying to get you to buy a product. And so he's got to turn down all the other noise that would keep you from focusing on the product. See there's something. See, when we look at that white noise, sometimes I get distracted. I get distracted naturally from the white noise. But the Holy Spirit said, he said, when you understand that noise is the proof of my power, what it does, it distracts you from the devil's product. I need more white noise from the Holy Ghost in my life. Because the devil is presenting a polished product. He's presenting a pristine product, high def. He's presenting a product that looks and sounds like ain't nothing else going on. But I thank God for the white noise. I thank God for the interference that he brings to disrupt what the enemy's trying to get me to believe. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. Thank you. Come here, Chris. Come here, Ronald. Come here, Alfred. Look at these young men. Boy, those are some nice shoes, man. Look at that. Check this out. When he's connected to the Holy Spirit, power's flowing. When he's connected to the Holy Spirit, power's flowing. When he's connected to the Holy Spirit, power's flowing. When I recognize that the devil's trying to sell me a production, he's trying to make me believe a production, a false production that's not real, I need more white noise in my life. And I recognize, even though I may be connected, my white noise might not be enough. So if I connect with another power source, that's another plug going into the power strip, and he connects with another power source, that's another plug going into the power strip, and he connects with another power source, that's another plug going into the power strip, where two or three are gathered. Ah, God. I got something the devil's trying to make me believe, and I don't believe it because it don't line up with the word of God. I need your power, and I need your power, and I need your connection. And I believe where two or three are gathered together. Hallelujah. Quentin, come in, where two or three are gathered together. Jesus said, he said, I'll be there in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered together. The God of all creation will be there in the midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what the devil was drowning me in, now the noise of the Spirit has taken over and ruined his production in your life. I don't know what the devil's trying to produce in your life today, but God says, if you trust in my power, I got enough white noise to drown him out. Can I get the redeemer of the Lord to say so in here? Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Hallelujah. When you get together with your brothers and your sisters, you ought to be creating such white noise that it drowns out everything the devil's trying to whisper in your ear. Because you know he's whispering. Let's don't fool ourselves. When we're by ourselves, he over there in your ear. You ain't going to never do it. You ain't going to never make it. You're going to go down just like you did last year. You might as well quit. Why are you going to that church? Why are you going? Why are you doing that? You know this ain't going to work. You know what? You know what? And you need to tell him, you know what, devil, you're right. In my strength. The last time you got victory was when it was just me. But now I got two or three witnesses. And we're going to get together. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to plug in our cord to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And what you got me with last year, I got backup. And you're not going to get me this year. Who am I talking to in this room this morning? Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you, in this season, instead of getting you some road dogs, you better get you some prayer warriors. You better get you some prayer warriors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, listen, one of the criteria should be, how do you pray? How often do you pray? This is what, two or three. So in my last 5 minutes. Oh, I'm 5 minutes over. I'm sorry. Can I have five more minutes, please? It says, so here, how do we eliminate hum eliminators? How do we eliminate them? How do we get rid of them? Got two points, and I'm done. 2 points, two scriptures, and I'm done. First of all, you got to keep your connection secure. Real simple. Keep your connection secure. Make sure that there's nothing interfering with your connection to God. Proverbs 4:22 says like this, keep the Message version, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life lies. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Oh, I love the Message version. It says avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. You got to keep your connections secure. It's not time to play with God. It's not time to play with the devil. You know, listen, you break it down. I love what God loves, and I hate what God hates. Real simple. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. Well, what if I don't know? Then ask the question. Would God love me cussing like this? I'm just with my boys. I'm just with my friends. But would God love? If Jesus was to come in bodily form right now, would he be hanging with me? Would God be your Uber driver when you're going over his house at 3:00 in the morning? Love what he loves, hate what he hates. Keep your connection secure. So that means you might need to take inventory around the people you're comfortable with. Here they go. That's what they always try. But listen,
If you want something you never gotten, you got to do something you never done. And if hanging with Pookie and Ray Ray and them keeps getting you the same results, you need to leave Pookie and Ray Ray and them alone. Let me challenge you with this. Ask them about something about God. See how they respond. Share your faith with them. See how they treat you. Their response will tell you whether or not they're keepers or not. Keep your connection secure. Number two. Don't give hum eliminators permission to attach. Don't give them permission to attach. James 4, 6 through 10, the Message version says, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Let me stop right there. In college, temptation was high. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. I was with my girlfriend, you know, and I had that Denzel Will Smith hybrid going on. So, what my fault? So, and so I knew that she was my wife. I knew it. When I went to college, I said, look, God, I don't want to be going around playing. Here's what I said, honest. I said, God, I don't want to be with nobody else's wife. That's what I said at 19. That's what I said. Now, I don't want to be with nobody else's wife because I don't want that. I listened too much to my daddy counseling people. And maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. I listened. And I said, I don't want that. I don't want to be part to that. And so when I knew that God had given her to me, I had this on. I had tunnel vision. I did. And so people would come, and the best way for me to do that, and this is something for my young cats, listen, if you want to stay pure, listen, you gotta expose the devil right where he at. And that was this girl who tried to come and just try to mess with me. And she tried to come. And she was nice. But I had these on. And she would come. And I would say, must thou tempt me? I promise you. You want to throw somebody off. You want to discombobulate them. I said, must thou tempt me? And walked away. Boy, you crazy. And she walked the other way. Yeah, you got to disrupt his flow. Don't give him, because once he feels comfortable, then he's gonna really try to slide in. But you disrupt him. You cut him off before he gets started. She will come, must thou tempt me? I call it to everybody looking around. Yeah. You expose the devil. You expose him. He don't like light. He does not like light. Expose him. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Don't give them permission to attach. Show me the picture again of the hum eliminator, and I'm done. These are connections. The hum eliminator doesn't work unless you connect it. These are connections. You got XLR connections at the bottom. You got quarter-inch connections at the top, in and out. You plug in, you plug your microphone in, and then you come out of it, and you go to another source. The hum eliminator is useless on the shelf. It only works when you plug it in.
What are you plugged into that's essentially dampening the frequency of God's Spirit and His power in your life? What are you plugged into that is essentially tricking your ear into believing you don't have enough power to move past this situation? They don't work if they aren't connected. I want to challenge you to look at your connections this week. And the days for it. Look at your connections. What am I connected to? Who am I connected to? Are they amplifying God's voice? Or are they dampening His voice? Are they revealing God more? Or are they suppressing Him more? See, when I became serious about living a life that honors God, I began to be sensitive to the invitations I was being offered. There were friends who, after I got filled with the Spirit of God, after I became sold out for God, I began to hear the real motive. Where God wanted me to spend time with Him, maybe study or pray or even go to Bible study. I have people, let's go here. Let's go to this party over here. Let's do this. And I begin to weigh. There's nothing wrong with going to a party. There's nothing wrong. But is that all you are in my life? A party promoter? Do you ever provoke me to want to press into God? Do you ever encourage me to do the things that please God? Or are you always trying to get me to be sneaky and trick this, do this, and go behind this person's back? How are we connected again? How are we connected again? I remember someone I considered a real friend and real brother, but God said, you got to look at your connections. And we came together because we first held each other up because we wanted to live godly lives and wanted to be husbands, godly husbands to our wives. But over time, I started noticing some things. Why are you sending me pictures of somebody else that ain't your wife? Why you want me to comment on this picture? Why you want me to take you over here? How are we connected again? Check your connections. The hum eliminator doesn't work if it's not connected. Question for you is, do you want to be confident in the power that's already flowing through the Holy Spirit in your life? Or are you more interested in just a polished production? Where all the white noise is suppressed and you look good to people, but you got no power. I don't know about you, I want power. I need God's power flowing in my life. Because there's some things I'm going to face that in my own strength, I can't do it. But with Him, all things are possible. I hear everybody standing in this room.